Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You are listening to station WGN.
Oh, a microphony.
And a phony at the mic. Yeah.
Oh. And radio became an accepted vehicle for nationwide news and opinion.
Notify all radio and TV stations to broadcast the following message.
Oh, is that the comedy spot?
No, Bubblehead, this isn't a comedy spot.
You're a fun guy, Dave. You're lonely on an island.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
This is exciting, isn't it?
5, 4, 3, 2.
All right, it's Dave Player on 720 WGN. Very happy you could join us on this Saturday night, early Sunday morning. 312-981-7200 is our number for calls and texts. Now, who better represents the Halloween season in the Windy City other than Chicago's very own Rich Kohs, who is celebrating 38 years since he first stepped into the role of Svengoolie, seen every Saturday night at its new time, 7 Central on MeTV. And there are opportunities all around Chicagoland to meet Svengoolie this month. And joining us to talk about that and some history behind those universal monsters, which were introduced to audiences nearly 100 years ago, is Rich Kohs himself and executive producer Jim Roach. Good evening, gentlemen.
Gentlemen, who came in?
There we go. Of course we got
to
do that.
You always have to set us up that
I
way,
always
David,
have to set you up. I didn't do it as ridiculous as I did last time, but yes, I had to set you up.
Works perfect. It works
no joke like an old joke.
38 years, pretty cool.
I know, and amazing to me.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, there are people that I'm working with who weren't even born then.
Yeah, I know. No, that's kind of crazy. Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Well, we just saw one of our producers in the hallway, and she goes, wait a minute, you are, you know, that's cool.
I mean, yes,
multi-generational,
nice.
Though, right? I mean.
It is. It's always surprising to me that there's such a wide range as far as the demographic who watches us, you know, from little
yeah.
kids who come and, you know, come up to me at appearances and say, I want a rubber chicken, to, you know, 70-year-olds and 80-year-olds
yeah.
who say, I always love those movies and I love what you do with them.
That's cool.
And all the people in between.
That's cool. And if you add, really, Jerry's time in, the franchise is 47 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
How about that?
That is very cool. That's very cool. What horror movie shows did you watch growing up? I know we've talked about this before.
Well, when I was really, really young, that was when the initial shock package was released to TV in the 50s. And here in Chicago, it was Terry Bennett.
Is that how it went?
Marvin.
It was a package that was
yes.
local.
Yes. The okay. name of the package was Shock. So in many cities, there was a show called Shock Theater in which they ran those movies. And here in Chicago, it was on ABC with Terry Bennett,
Terry
who played
Bennett, yeah.
a sort of beatnik-type guy, Marvin, a beatnik ghoul. And I only saw that a couple times, and that was because usually I wasn't allowed to stay up that late.
Yeah.
And it was times that we were over at a relative's
house.
Is that
why you moved the show to 7? Because you're not allowed anymore?
Exactly.
Okay.
No, it's because I'm getting older,
okay.
and you know... I don't want to doze off during the show.
Right, right.
But we'd see it because we were allowed to stay up because we were at somebody's house.
Yeah.
And then the next ones I remember seeing would have to go to the 3:30 movie on ABC during the afternoons.
Oh, that's right, right, right.
When they would run horror shows. And then for a while, and this is maybe when I was a junior or senior in high school, Channel 5 would run them real late on a Sunday night.
Thrillerama.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't
okay.
recall the name
okay.
of it.
Okay, all right.
And then the next stop after that, which was, you know, right after I was graduating from high school and going to Northwestern, was when Jerry started doing Screaming Yellow yeah. Theater. And at the same time, Channel 9 was running Creature Feature.
Yeah, right, right, exactly. How about you, Jim? I mean, what did you grow up watching as far as horror?
It was the same boat. I was watching Creature Features on Channel 9 and then watching Jerry as the original Svengoolie. That was, I remember that, and that was, as a kid, that was something.
I have to say that because I was born in 67, it was probably when I was actually lucid remembering what I was watching. It was probably 75, 76.
Sure. Yeah.
So I got to see a little of that Creature Features. WSNS TV 44 had
sure, yeah.
Monster Rally.
Yes, I believe
Monster
that's what
Rally?
It was.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Uh-huh.
But I grew up with you.
Oh, well.
I mean, really? I mean, that's what
you
it was.
You grew up.
It was Friday nights. It was Saturday afternoons.
They moved it all around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think when we first started, it was on Saturday evenings.
Okay.
Then they moved it down to afternoons. I know we ran some specials on Friday nights.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Yep, yep, yep.
And it ping-ponged back and forth. The worst was when they moved it down to 10 in the morning.
I don't understand
and,
that.
And, yeah, nobody ridiculous. Liked it. And I, being kind of a jerk, started a whole campaign.
Yeah, right.
You know, we give out addresses and stuff. And I said, you know, if you like this or if you don't like it, let us know. We're having a campaign. It's called Love It or Shove It. And the majority of it was Shove It. And I don't think that management appreciated it. But it ended up moving back to like 1 o'clock in the afternoon then.
And that set that you had back then was Jerry's original coffin that was painted over. But you also had part of the Shock Theater, which you grew up with. That must have been cool just knowing that.
It was. It was amazing. Somehow they got that from over at ABC. And then they added on to it and built all sorts. They built a little stage that matched and everything. Yeah. It was so cool. It was just amazing.
And I love the new set, but the original one you donated some years ago to the Broadcast Museum, and I love this because as the new, and I have to pitch this or plug this, the new Saturday Night Live exhibit that opens up there this coming Saturday, you know go down upstairs to the third floor and catch the Svengoolie exhibit because it is. I think pretty reflective, and you know we were all part of putting it together and Jim and Rich and. It you know you're kind of the favorite movies that you've got posted up there. There's a picture of Jerry G. Bishop in there. It's you know there's rubber chickens all over the floor. The original set, the door, the hand that's kind of in the window over there. It's cool to see. Every time I see it, I just get the chills because it's what I grew up with.
And it you know to me it's the ultimate flattering thing, certainly.
Yeah.
And it's very cool that now with the new SNL exhibit,
more people
are going to get a chance to see it.
Absolutely. And then we're going to put your organ in there.
I beg your pardon?
Whoa. Hold on.
Wow.
Well, Doug's organ, the original organ that was done in the early days, we're gonna Jim and I have to figure out when, but we're gonna get that over to the museum.
We gotta schedule an organ transplant.
Yes, we do.
You know, we do have a bunch of stuff that people have sent us too. And maybe sometime we could do an exhibit there or something.
I like
some
that.
Of the fan stuff that's been sent to us.
That's cool.
Because some of it is just unbelievable. There's a huge like card from a big piece of wood. Svengoolie bust. There are ventriloquist dolls and puppets.
Wow.
And various works of art that these people have sent to us. And it's like nobody gets it. We show them on the show, but then they're sitting there, and we don't have a lot of room for it. So
you know, walk into that storage room and tell me if it doesn't freak you out.
It's cool. No, because, you know, I think about this when I see your appearances and I see pictures that you post. I also see fans getting dressed up like you. And right down from little kids to whoever. That's just as cool. What a great tribute.
Yeah, earlier today we had a event for C2E2, the big comics and entertainment convention that comes every spring, and they asked me to do a Halloween event with them. We stopped by, and part of it was Svengoolie cosplay, where people would dress up as me.
It's Coz.
And no.
Wait a minute.
The name is Coz. The play is Kaz.
Is it okay?
What? Okay.
And I'm talking Kaz like, you see,
yellow
pudding. Oh, we don't bring him up.
No, we don't bring him up anymore. Okay. But now, speaking of appearances, so you've got this Thursday, you're appearing with Orion at the Jameson's Char House.
I love that place.
21st is like a tradition. It's Nightmare on Chicago Street, and that's in Elgin.
Yeah, it's always kind of cool because it's an actual sort of, you know, ambiance type event. Where
8:30 to 10:30. I mean, it's, you know,
the whole theme of it is that zombies have taken over Elgin. And the only safe place is the safe zone that's been set up by the Elgin government right in the middle of town on Chicago Street. And you have to go through a special, you know, screening as you come in. And unfortunately, sometimes zombies do manage to work their way in there.
They do. Yeah,
but it's a lot of fun. There's bands and there's vendors and food and music. And we have a big costume contest there that every year is so impressive.
That's cool.
Very, very cool.
That's cool. And that's the 21st. And for more information on that one, it's nightmareonchicagostreet.com. On the 27th, and you'll find out more information about this at WGNradio.com, but you're doing an event with Roe.
Yeah, the past few years they've been nice enough to invite me to do this. They do their annual Halloween broadcast, and this year it's at the Hofbrau House in Rosemont. And they've asked me again to take part in it. Sometimes I get to do the news or ruse game, which is
always cool.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's always a fun time, and I really appreciate that they invite me.
Cool, very cool. And then the 28th, that Saturday, you got a lot. That's a big day. That's a big day
yes,
for you.
Yes, it is.
So Volo, it's 11 to 2, and I like this because, you know, you can meet you. There's all kinds of, obviously, antiques, collectibles. It's one of my favorite places. Like
and all those great cars from movies and classic cars
Batmobile.
And TV shows. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Batmobile is in there.
I've sat in the Batmobile.
Oh, I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
You took a call in there. They have a phone.
That's right. I did. I answered the phone in there.
We were, Emma and I, my daughter and I, were in the antique gallery in November a couple years ago, and there was this old oval frame, probably from the turn of the century, and when we were walking up the stairs, and there's people, you know, that are working there that are scattered throughout as mm-hmm. well, and we were walking toward this area, and from the back, it rolled out, it kind of stood up, and then fell down again. And I'm not kidding you.
No, I've heard the stories that that place
it's
is haunted.
It's haunted. Yes. And so because they've done the trolley tours or the trolley rides and stuff like that. And immediately there was a woman who came out with her notepad and documented exactly what happened, took a picture of the whole nine yards.
Wow.
So it's a cool place. I mean, they're old barns. I mean, that have been around forever and ever.
Sure, yeah.
And then later that night at 11 p.m., you'll get a nap in, I'm sure, between this.
I hope.
You'll be at Rivers Casino, which is a great place. That's a very cool venue.
Yeah, over in Des Plaines. It's the Cube
Monster Bash
nightclub there.
Yeah.
And costume party. There are certain rules because it's a casino. You know, you can't wear face makeup or masks or anything.
Oh, okay.
Because, that's one of the rules. But it's all listed on their website. But it's going to be a lot of fun. There will be a costume contest. And again, you know, music, a lot of fun. Famous Chicago DJ Julian Jumpin' Perez will be there.
Yeah, he's jumping. Yeah, he'll be jumping.
He'll probably be jumping,
yeah,
yes.
Sure.
I'll bring with a tape measure so we can see how high.
Wouldn't say it if it wasn't true.
But it should be a lot of fun. And it's nice to do some of these events that are just strictly adults for our adult fans, so that's always cool.
I might swing by for that one.
I hope
because it's 11 o'clock on the way in. Absolutely.
And what are you going to dress as, Dave?
I'm going to dress as the overnight tired radio guy. That's going to, I don't know, I'll have to think.
It's a very popular costume this year.
I have from, Jeff Hoover from the WGN Morning News, he does that wink winkle thing. So when he had his birthday, his 50th, a couple of years ago, everyone dressed up as one of his characters. So I do have a wink winkle.
Oh, that's very nice.
I could show up as wink. On the 31st, on actual Halloween, you'll be with Bill and Wendy.
Yes, and that's another
tradition. Yeah,
Every year I've been stopping in with them. We always have a fun time visiting with them. So we'll be in the Showcase Studios. You can actually come by and see
me
dressed in my Svengoolie finery.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I love that.
I love that. You know.
And then leading up to Halloween, you have two movies coming up, Tarantula and Brides of Dracula.
Yes, Tarantula is one that we get asked about all the time. Yeah. Very famous movie. People love giant insects, believe me. And then Brides of Dracula is one of those Hammer movies.
That's early 1960s?
1960 even.
Yeah, and in beautiful color. Peter Cushing is Van Helsing.
Oh, that's cool.
And, of course, you know, lots of nubile young women with fangs.
Oh, wow. Wait a second.
With fangs.
I love that.
That's
perfect for Halloween.
For that.
I love that. Perfect for Halloween. But you don't want to stay home on Halloween. You want to come see you at Rivers Casino.
Sure. Well, they have this new invention. It's called the VT.
But you know what? It's at your show's now at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, right.
You have to remind people, too. So
on MeTV.
On MeTV, absolutely.
Indeed.
Thank you for that.
Just trying to
Thank
get
you for
the
that plug
in.
You got to get that plug in.
Got to get it in.
Speaking of Dracula, there's no one more famous than Bela Lugosi. And I love the Universal Monsters because I actually associate those, obviously, with you as well because you played them throughout the year. And you just did the Wolfman? Was it the Wolfman that was on?
Yes, we did both Frankenstein and the
Wolfman. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which my five-year-old watched Frankenstein with me. I had to turn it off when the little girl gets thrown in to the lake.
Yes,
I don't think he would have caught that, but absolutely.
Spoiler alert, Dave.
Spoiler alert. But Bella, talking about the Universal Monsters, you know, the first Universal Monster franchise, I think, was a silent film in the early 20s, was Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah, that was during the time when the original Lon Chaney was their man of a thousand faces, as they called him, and portrayed various monsters. And definitely Quasimodo. That's very impressive to see that. And when you watch that and see actually some of the stunts he's doing, where he's, you know, hanging from these, you know, gargoyles and flipping around, it's very impressive to see that.
But Dracula was the first real. I mean, they talk about cat creeps and stuff. I've seen a lot of blogs talking about that. But Dracula in 1931 really was kind of considered the first real universal monster that we remember.
Actually, originally, that version was done as a stage play. And actually, when you watch that version, it does kind of come off as it could be shot on stage.
Interesting. Okay. And
you know, because there's only a few real outside shots, but all of it could be done on a stage, you know, using various sets.
And Bela only played it twice. It was in the original Dracula. And people think he played vampires before, I think, but he didn't play Dracula.
Yeah, he played other vampires, but the next time was in Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
And then later that year, Frankenstein was released, so they knew they had something going here. And that was Boris Karloff, wasn't it?
Yes, Karloff portrayed him and took out his upper plate, supposedly, so his cheeks would look more sunken.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. And then there was only a couple other guys, at least famous enough, that played him was Lon Chaney Jr., who played all the major
Universal monsters, the Mummy, the Frankenstein monster, the Wolfman,
Son of Dracula. He played Frankenstein for one scene in Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein, didn't he?
Right. Yeah, there was a time when, and even Gilbert Gottfried told me this.
That's right. He's a horror buff.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing his podcast
soon,
too. Did
I say that
too.
Right? Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, I'm very flattered that they asked me to do that. I'll let you know when it's going to be on. But what happened was Glenn Strange from Gunsmoke, he was the bartender on there, he hurt himself. He tripped over a cable or something and hurt his ankle or something and could not, you know, be in that scene carrying the woman. So
and throwing her out the window.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah.
So Lon, who wasn't, you know, scheduled to shoot that day, he said, I can do it. Put on the Frankenstein outfit, and indeed, it's him in that scene.
You can catch it just ever so slightly. He's a little shorter, maybe.
Yeah, and he moves differently.
Yes, he does. Other significant releases after that, The Mummy was in 32, Invisible Man 33, Bride of Frankenstein, just as iconic.
Oh, yeah.
In 1935.
And one of my favorites, really.
Yeah, mine too. I almost have to say the Abbott Costello always ranks because it's all three of them, but
sure.
I love Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah, and there are people who will bring up things like the scenes with Dr. Pretorius with the little people in the jars and saying, that's just silly and it's so stupid. Why is that in there? But, you know, I think it adds to the charm of the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. It does. And then 41, you know, 10 years after Dracula came the Wolfman.
Right, yes.
Yeah, that finally got his own movie. There was 60 Universal monster movies, and then came Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein. So what, at that point, why did Universal say, okay, we're going to make light of this? Was it kind of wearing itself out a little bit, maybe after.
Well, the thing was, by that time, both the monster franchise seemed like it had run its course to them, and the same with Abbott and Costello. Their movies were not pulling as well.
So both.
Yeah. So they thought, well, maybe there's something we can do. And actually, Abbott and Costello were trying to do a Broadway show that was going to be Abbott and Costello Meet the Monsters.
Wow.
That would have a lot of the same, you know, creatures in it. And they thought, well, why can't we just do this as a movie? And originally it was called something like The Brain of Frankenstein, the original script, and it was just unused. And they decided to adapt that, whereas the brain that he was going to get was Lou Costello's.
And
good
one,
choice. Yeah.
And one of them didn't like it. Was it Abbott or was Lou?
Lou did not like it. He said that he thought his young daughter could write a better script. But it ended up, you know, both really boosting their career and the refurbishing the monsters, making them really profitable.
Sure, because they did so many others after that, very, very similarly. 54 and 55 came Creature from the Black Lagoon and Revenge of the Creature. Have you seen Revenge of the Creature?
Have I seen it? Why, I showed it in startling 3D many years ago.
Yeah, that was, I got to tell you, that was a big deal. I still remember it was 7-Eleven. I still remember the commercials. Yeah, because we all ran out and got our glasses.
And I think you remember me telling you that for the year after that, people would see me at public appearances and say, I want my 89 cents back.
They still say it. That's my favorite.
Although with inflation now, it's $1.50.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
And it's 4D.
And then the last noted Universal monster film was in 60 called The Leech Woman, which.
The Leech Woman.
Have you played that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite? Like if you were to say, let's set Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein aside. What is your ultimate favorite? Would it be Bride of Frankenstein?
I can never say because I like different ones for different reasons.
Okay.
Bride of Frankenstein is always near the top because it's such a good movie.
Yeah.
It really stands up. But I like, you know, the core, Frankenstein and Wolfman and Dracula as well. Those really stand out to me. And I'm a big fan of The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yes, yes.
I thought that that was so unique, if you think about it, because it wasn't, you know, from some literature or something like that. And it was unusual, because here was this creature that had lived for years and years without changing with evolution. And it was just in that area and, you know, wanted to be left alone.
Yeah. Like you.
Well, exactly. Evolution has not changed me a bit, let me tell you.
Well, do you have a favorite, Jim? Like, you've seen them all, too. I mean,
it's hard. Like Rich said, there's so many different little subgenres. There's, like, outer space movies from the 50s that I enjoy. And then there's – but you can't beat the universal classics.
Yeah.
The Frankenstein, Dracula, Bride of
Frankenstein. It's a great way to introduce people if they've really never seen a really great horror film. Like, you know, my kids, that's where I want to start with them, is playing some of the old black and whites.
Well, sure. And the thing of it is, especially with the core group, the filmmaking – is just beautiful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It gets a little, over time, you know, it's a little schlockier and perhaps a little not as tidy. But the original ones are absolutely just gorgeous films. And we're lucky to be getting
They're really
prints.
Pristine. Yeah, the prints look fantastic.
From Universal, they've been very good to us, and they look so good. And it's like watching them again for the first time, the mood you get from watching.
That's cool. And I always bring up that, talking about mood, the way that the shadows and the lighting, even though it's black and white, It just conveys
like
a whole atmosphere that
Absolutely.
Really, really affects you. Yeah. And you watch it and, you know, you get drawn into it.
Yeah. And all that stuff is very highly collectible still to this day, whether it's figurines or whatever it may be. And speaking of collectible, my God, your new action figure sold out in like record time.
Yeah, it did.
That's
cool. We were very surprised.
Yeah. I heard you on Bill Left talking about that, and Bill is the ultimate toy guy, and you know he said that's crazy impressive. You know.
Well, the without even promoting it on television, it was all just online.
Crazy.
In the first 24 hours, we sold half of the inventory. We had 500 of them that went out, and then the next 500, which was the rest of what was left, was gone in a week.
And then you're going to do – you're not going to actually – which I like this, that, you know, there's 1,000 limited edition. You're going to do it again with a different look, and we don't know what that is yet, but that's what you guys are working on now.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that.
I love that. And then there's other Svengoolie goodies that you can own. The Svengoolie stomp, of course, on 45.
Oh, yeah. And I really like the fact that now you're going to be able to sell that at the
Museum
broadcast.
Yeah, so you got to come see the exhibit and come pick up the 45. Yeah, it's very cool to have because it's so retro. You can also get Sven t-shirts. And now that it's getting cold out, you can get your Sven sweatshirts. And, of course, posters, retired chickens, all that other good stuff at Svengoolie.com.
Yeah, it's nice. People always ask about things, and the one thing we don't sell that people always ask about are rubber chickens. You can win one because we choose one person randomly every month on our website.
Yeah.
And the only other way to do it is you either buy one at an appearance that we're at, because a lot of the places we go to will actually sell them, and I can sign it for you. But we do not sell signed rubber chickens.
We can't, and we're restricted by law. It's the Interstate Poultry Act of 1948.
Also, the fact that I always personalize them now because I don't want them going on eBay and being sold for, you know,
I like that.
An extra amount of money. Yeah. That's not fair.
It ain't chicken feed.
I like that. It is not. But find out these appearances and also sign up for this Svengoolie newsletter, because I always look forward to it. When I see it pop up, I always get excited that I'm going to read some cool stuff.
Yeah, and it's
from
free,
you,
too.
And it's free. And you can do that at Svengoolie.com. And, of course, follow Rich on Facebook as well. Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Well, don't forget Twitter.
Oh, and Twitter.
Twitter. Oh, at Svengoolie.
Well. At Svengoolie. All right, thanks, guys.
I'm all at
Thank
Twitter.
You, Dave.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
We got a big show for you tonight. October is National Pinball Month, and Gary Stern, CEO of Chicago-based Stern Pinball, will join us to talk about the latest games. And he only does Games of Thrones. He does Walking Dead. I mean,
when is he going to do the Svengoolie one?
He needs it. You know what? I'm going to talk to him about that.
He needs
to do a Svengoolie one. New one is Star Wars for the 40th anniversary.
Very cool.
And that Batman 66, which, by the way, I just bought one. It's gonna
did
be
you
thousand.
Really?
Yes, I did. I'm really excited about that.
I'm coming over.
Or you are coming over. Absolutely. You need no quarters. And then later on, for decades, dramas, comedies, mysteries could be seen at the movies on Broadway or on radio. So the most popular genre on radio in the Golden Age was horror and suspense. So we're going to talk for the first time together. Chuck Shaden, Steve Darnall, and Carl Amari will join us live in studio to break it all down. And we're going to play our own radio classic, Suspense, The House in Cypress Canyon. All that coming up after the news next on 720 WGN.
Oh, we are the boys of the chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.